You don't need to get personal, like revealing orange juice commercials make you cry, to get the State Farm personal price plan. Just call or go to statefarm.com for a quote. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices vary by state. Options selected by customer. Availability and eligibility may vary.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And tonight we have with us here Bill Ogden, and he is from Pennsylvania over there. And boy, do they need tactical civics there in Pennsylvania, too. And, Bill, I wanted to just tell you, John McTernan, who was the co-founder and founder of Cops for Christ International National, and he was a special agent, 26 years special treasury agent, and John Holman, who was a very strong pro-life advocate. Well, we worked, I worked with these two. They were both from Pennsylvania there, and there was just a tremendous amount of crime when it comes to nursing homes in Pennsylvania, where these corrupt courts, these corrupt judges, these corrupt prosecutors working with these nursing home operators were stealing the estates of elderly people. And we had a number of people contact them. We went after them, and I would call them, and I'm going to tell you, they would get in a panic when I call them and say, "Listen, I just would like to ask you some questions because there's been some accusations made about some very corrupt things and about you obtaining people's properties." And Bill, you ought to have seen these people. They would panic. I had one police chief that. He lost it. He were yelling, "I don't want anything to do with this. They try to set me up in this. I really, believe me, I'm not involved in all of this." So by doing that, he just kind of spilled his guts on everything. And so this is exactly the type of thing that tactical civics and grand jury should be investigated in, getting into with the corruption to where it comes to especially stealing the property from the elderly. Situation just recently, just yesterday, you had a 95-year-old veteran was thrown out of a nursing home because the city told him that they had to make his bed available to an illegal alien. That's the kind of thing that we really need to go after. So what do you think about all that?
We're going to operate in four phases. Phase one is going to be to amass numbers. We're going to gather up the remnant. We're going to build a chapter in every county. We're looking at half of 1% of your county population. It's 400 where I sit. It's 800 in State College where Penn State is. It's 150 in Jefferson County, west of me. Once we have sufficient numbers, we are then going to move forward. Moving forward will be those two ordinances I talked about, and then the ratifying the 27th Amendment that I talked about, and then the Christmas list of other things. But we're going to do this in an orderly fashion. I get questions all the time. Where did you stand up a grand jury at? We haven't stood any up yet. We're not going to do them piecemeal. We're not going to do it that way. That's not how they invaded Europe during the Second World War. They massed their numbers and equipment first. And we are going to mass first. We're going to do some training first. But we're not going to do it slowly. So in Pennsylvania, we're the largest state chapter in the Republic, and the county I'm in is the largest county in the Republic. We are the model for how this is done, and we are looking to help other counties across the Republic duplicate what we have done. We're growing at a fantastic rate all across the Republic. September will be the largest growth month since we were founded. We look for October to exceed that. And so welcome aboard to all the folks that are coming to your event tomorrow in Ohio. Are there problems here? Yes. Are we going to deal with them? Yes. But we're going to deal with them in an orderly fashion. We're not going to be all helter-skelter and willy-nilly. We're not going to be demonized as a bunch of crazy rednecks, which is what they'll try to do. Because when we do this right, when we do this strategically, it will have a couple positive effects. One is it'll accomplish the immediate goal, and two is it'll continue to swell our numbers. The people are ready. Every day, the enemy does things to enhance market recruiting conditions for me. Every day. You know, a couple of years ago, I was at an event with some good fellas. They're getting ready, preparing for that day when things get bad, when the crap hits the fan. I said, are you kidding me? When it hits the fan, they're stealing elections, poisoning the people. They're closing our businesses. They're indoctrinating our kids, flooding our borders, debasing our currency. When it gets bad enough, it's already there. And I just talked to somebody tonight. He said when he saw the pride flag in the White House, that was the last straw for him. He's ready to do something different. He's running a business, but he says, I won't have a business if I don't attend to the freedom of our republic.
Donald Trump just recently came out and said, look, you don't have time for me to get back in office. You don't have time for that. You've got to move and you've got to act now. And so I think he made a very, very good point. I think we can all feel that. We can all feel that. Now, the opposition knows, and have you noticed that the opposition, the far left out there, seems to be kind of beside themselves recently? I'm seeing grumblings of panic developing within the left. What do you think?
It may be. I think there's less of them. I think they get good press. Because the media is bought and paid for, and so they'll take an isolated pocket of folks that are out of their mind and display it all day and try to make the force seem bigger than it is. We outnumber them. We being small-town America, flyover country, they call us. Take a look at an election map by county or by precinct and see what color most of the country is. There's no difference between Democrat and Republican up here. We're both being stolen from. We're both being run roughshod over by people that think they have a right to do so. And so I'm less concerned about the left. But what Trump said about you need to do something, you know, they were on the side hill and there were 5,000 present. And Jesus felt they needed to have something to eat, but nobody brought any food. And they gathered up what little they had, loaves and fishes, and they said, what should we do? Jesus' response was, you feed them. They were looking for him to do something. You feed them. Well, that's us. We have to do this. Donald Trump can't fix this for me. Donald Trump Jr., if Trump could do the job, great. What will we do 4 years from now? If he's the answer, great. What's the answer after Trump? No, it's not about them. He's just another employee, isn't he? He's just the guy we've got that's acting as our store manager or whatever analogy you want to come up with. I own this company. You own this company. We are the ones that run things here. We want to hire good people, and then we want to supervise good people.
All right. Makes a lot of sense to me. All right, that is tomorrow night. Again, that is tacticalcivics.com, tacticalcivics.com. They go up there, and they're going to see a red button they can push, and they're going to watch a 14-minute film?
11-minute video.
11-minute video. And then it only costs, what, $5 a month, or you can join for a whole year for what?
$50 I paid because I'm cheap.
Yep, 50, but I did the same. I did the same. I joined, okay.
Glad to have you.
Yeah, I already joined. There you go.
There's a couple things that new people are encouraged to do. One is to get a copy of the book, The Great We Set.
Got that already. He sent it to me.
Yeah, it's PDF, PDF on the website, or you can get a hard copy. There's audio you can listen to. Join some of our Zoom studies. You've met Jeff Calhoun, I think, by phone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a study on Monday nights. It's very good. There are other ones. And we being the organization, will help you guys get up and running and moving. We know what we're doing. We're aggregating numbers.
All right. Now, I also could help you there in Pennsylvania because we reach a lot of people in Pennsylvania. And so when you're having... Pardon?
We will talk further.
All right, we certainly will. Speaking of that, we have lightning rounds. We've got a lot of things to cover tonight. We'd like to have you stay here with us and comment on some of this stuff, if you can. So we're going to start, and I'm going to say, Randy, take it away.
Yeah, you want? Okay. Not this is an article from Mike Lindell, and this is about the Lindell Defense Fund. And it says this. It says that at the Lindell Offense Fund, we know it's just a matter of time before the real criminals are caught. And we're talking here, it says, Smartmatic indicted. Now the tables have turned. Yesterday, I shared with you, and this is Mike Lindell's letter, with you the breaking news of a Miami district attorney formally indicting the software company Smartmatic. This company is responsible for electronic equipment in the United States and many other countries. Smartmatic has been indicted on the following: accused of using bribes, money laundering, corrupt foreign dealings to gain contracts, and more influence in elections. It says, you know, Smartmatic offered to withdraw the lawsuit against me if I would publicly recant and stop talking about this. To be clear, Smartmatic sued me for $1 billion, claiming that I ruined their reputations. Smartmatic has systematically gone after people with influence in their livelihoods for what they called disparaging comments. This is a company that works directly with our government, has incredible, unprecedented protection from people to even question the quality of the work that they put out. And it says that Smartmatic's own behavior has actually caused them their disparaging reputation that they have. It says court documents show that the facilitating of alleged bribes, creating fake contracts, the use of Smartmatic slush funds after their questionable behavior. Smartmatic stated that MyPillow benefited financially from my direct investigation in the electronics. But the truth is, MyPillow has lost over $100 million. The Lindell Defense Fund is now determined, no matter what the deep state throws at us, we have waged over 40 lawsuits in past 2 years and worked with over 20 organizations to keep the stolen the election of 2020 in the news, and over 80 million voters who had their votes stolen from them. And it says no more machines is what he's asking for. We must fix our election platform. We cannot allow big corporations, phony politicians, deep state globalists to stop us from the work that must be done in our country here. We will never give up. We are not going anywhere until our voter and elections are real again.
Already, Smartmatic also is implicated in charging co-conspirators in the Philippines bribery and money laundering scheme. The U.S. Department of Justice has brought charges against Andreas Butifista, a Philippine election administrator, for money laundering in the case, however, four executives named as uncharged conspirators. Smartmatic is currently embroiled in defamation lawsuits against several American people and firms, including Mike Lindell and Fox News. So they're starting to fall apart now. Now, this happens to be very important because, and we were on top of this thing every day, in Arizona, in Maricopa County, where we saw the very, very, very corrupt Katie Hobbs. I mean, the whole thing was that the judges were involved. The people, they were working with the drug cartels in Maricopa County. Even the sheriff's department, the judges would not allow the people to bring the evidence before and say, look, here, we've got all of this evidence of something like 250,000, some outrageous number of illegal ballots, phony ballots. And of course, no, we can't bring that. You can't bring that forward. Why? Well, because if they go down, these judges will go down with them. Corrupt, 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 corrupt. So now, here you go. Arizona's wrongfully elected governor, Katie Hobbs, has stepped down. Katie Hobbs has stepped down. Mm-hmm. A mysterious announcement was made by Hobbs, who has stepped down from office and appointed Arizona Treasury Kimberly Yee as acting governor. Yee pointed out in her press release that Katie Hobbs has not fulfilled her duties as governor and is not following the law. Now, what does this mean? Carrie Lake, she won that election, just like Donald Trump won that election. the election was stolen from her through election fraud. And so now it looks like Carrie Lake may not have to run for Senate. She may be the governor. The Lindell Offense Fund and Carrie Lake have been at the forefront of the fight against the stolen Arizona election. Katie Hobbs, along with a cohort of corrupt election officials, and I mean a bunch of them, but they were involved with the drug cartels, brazenly conspired to overrule the will of the voters and steal the 2022 gubernatorial election. As Emeril Roberts, the reporter, the judge has refused to let expert witnesses. Here you go. This is exactly what I was telling you about. In the case of Carrie Lake's trial, take the stand in the battle over false signatures on the ballots. Our legal team is taking action now to fight back and overturn the stolen 2022 gubernatorial election, which would make Hobbs' exit permanent. Now, here you go, Bill. We're seeing more and more of this. I've noticed here that a number of the Communist Party, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Communist Party members. The whole left, you know, the Antichrist Communist Party, they're in a panic right now. They're in a real panic. They see the way things are going. The walls are closing in on Joe Obama and Biden and the Biden crime cartel. Now, I was sitting there and I was listening to Fox News, and they were talking about the major cartels, crime cartels, smugglers. And they were talking about these two groups. But they left the major cartel out. And the major cartel is the Biden crime family. Look, we told you 2.5 years ago, in fact, we told you that, look, Joe Obama Biden was owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party. We told you. I listened to Chinese generals talking to a huge crowd, and they were telling they were like university students, and they were, I'm trying to, but there was more to it than that, like young military cadets, that we, and they were laughing, we have our people in the very highest place in the U.S. government, the highest place. He was talking about the Biden crime cartel. And they cheered and they applauded, okay, right? Joe Biden's job, he was given the charge. You make sure the border stays open. We want the border open. We want a steady flow of fentanyl. We want a steady flow of children in there. We want the pedophiles, big-time pedophiles in America are, you know, the entire Democratic Party and a lot of the Republican Party is filled from the top, all the so-called elites, with pedophiles. And then right now, the number right now has gotten over 45,000 known Chinese nationals, which were basically, they're plainclothes soldiers, folks. They're young, plainclothes Chinese soldiers in our country, okay? They're coming in. And Joe Obama Biden is the one whose job was to make sure the enemy comes within, to make sure that. And he did that. And we've been telling people that now for over 2.5 years. So there you go. So what do you think about all that, Bill?
Well, who's in charge of elections?
I thought it was you.
The county.
Alrighty.
The legislature, the state sets the time and manner and so on, but the county sets up the machines. And Stephen Covey talks about areas of concern and areas of control. While I am concerned with Arizona, and I would like to support them through prayer, through funding, through whatever, where I have control is my own county. The county commissioners in my county are the ones that deal with voting machines or paper ballots or same day. And so if I wish to take control of the election process, I have to do it here and then county by county. Tactical Civics wants to put a chapter in every county with this thinking in mind. The power lies right outside your door. It's not across the republic. It's right next to you, but you have to go assert it at your county government level. What's this say? But And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth in his coming. You know, there's all these verses about the servant and the return of the master. The master's coming back. And the master is you. It is we, the people.
Well, actually, I've got an article here that kind of goes hand in hand with that about the money and the voters. It says tens of thousands of fake voters. FBI buries documents in possible nationwide voter fraud. In Just News, it's just confirmed that they will refuse access to information regarding a multi-state fraud investigation that began in Michigan and later was turned over to the feds. Information released by the state confirms that the potential broad scope of the scheme, but the FBI now is shutting down access. FBI is claiming that the information regarding what appears to be a nationwide voter registration fraud scheme involving possible tens of thousands of fake voters cannot be released because it's part of an ongoing investigation. It says the Just News also confirmed the open secret that a nonpartisan, and this is a nonpartisan research group that tracks money in U.S. politics, provides information that GBI, which is a Michigan-based data gathering organization, millions of dollars. These groups include the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, and they paid out $2,117,605. The DNC Services Corp, $1,031,856. And the Biden for President Campaign paid $450,000. It says, however, after the FBI got involved, the trail went cold.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this here. Do you know who Sheriff Richard Mack is?
Yep.
Okay. He's been he's a good friend of mine for a long time. And 2 years ago, he asked me to come to Liberty University there in Virginia and to speak. And I went and I spoke to 250 county sheriffs. And they wanted to know, where did we get the institution of human government? What is divine human government? And that's what I spoke on. Now, I talked to a number of these fellows afterwards. I mean, we sat and they're on the same mind. They're the same sumptuous, if you will. That word means having the same mindset as we are. Has anybody contacted Richard about tactical civics?
Don't know.
Well, maybe that's what I'll do.
He's supervised, so I realize Richard Mack is not my sheriff, but if I contact individuals, not groups, I guess is the simplest way to explain it. But I haven't contacted him. I don't know if David Zuniga has.
Well, I need to talk to him about that because this would be a perfect open, I think. For us, because yeah, he's in contact.
The sheriffs don't work for me. All you have to do is not pay your property tax for a couple of years, and you'll find out whose friend the sheriff is.
Well, that's the thing about Richard Mack. He would not allow. In fact, when IRS agents were to come into his county, they'd have to check into his office, and the same thing with FBI agents. Now, our sheriff, my county sheriff, has been out to our church several times to speak to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, he came in and he said that every man in this church should be armed, every single one, with his Second Amendment, and be ready to, you know, protect your church, protect your families, and that.
Absolutely.
And so when they tried to pull all of this COVID-19 stuff on us, when they were saying, well, you have to do social distancing and then you have to wear the masks. He made up a poster and said, this is a mandate. It is not a law. You are not required in any way, shape, or form to have to wear your mask. And if you're uncomfortable about being around people who will not wear a mask, you have the right to go to leave and go somewhere else, okay? And again, he said, in this county, we will not enforce any of these mandates. And then the other thing, too, when they put that in, the very first person into our court that came to that church that morning early, that Sunday morning, was the fellow from the courtroom who was the, having one of my senior moments right now, thinking of what it is. He's like he works out of the court, and he's an officer of the court. But anyhow, he came, and I said, "What in the world are you doing here, John, this early?" He said, "Well," he said, "I know you're not going to abide by any of those mandates." And he said, "So I'm just here to make sure nobody gives you any trouble." And so there, that shows you kind of like where we're at here. And I think more and more. And do you know what else about that, Bill? You know, in our county where I was living, used to be a house, not long ago, a house could go on the market for sale. And that house could sit there for 2 or 3 months without selling. Now, it barely sits there 2 or 3 hours. People are moving in into our from the blue states. They want to get away from them. We have people from New Jersey, from California. They like our county. They want to move to our county. Why? We have a very strong militia, a very, very strong militia. Not militia, Tea Party. Very strong Tea Party in our county. And so, and soon we're going to have a very, very large militia, I believe. So
in Pennsylvania, the Rachel Levine, who's now famous, Richard Levine, Rachel Levine, the Secretary of Health, put out the language on the mask wearing and so on. I went to the grocery store and there's a sign that says you got to wear a mask. It's the law. Well, I helped elect the legislators around here and they assured me there is no law. They said, we make the laws. There isn't one. So I got looking on the Department of Health website. That sign came from the Pennsylvania State Department of Health. In other words, they were printing and distributing lies for businesses to put up to intimidate me. And I'm not going to be intimidated because, you know, I read the directive. It was always optional. People don't think, you know, we go back to
that name I was trying to think of, called the constable. It was my car constable.
Constable, right. We elect those two. Sheep have to be led. Sheep can also be driven. You know, you can get a dog to chase sheep across. And when sheep, they get into this blind fear thing, they're easy to drive, whether it's over a cliff or into the briars or into the hands of the robbers. A little bit of intellectual discernment would have solved a lot of those problems. My story, and this isn't a tactical civic story, this is mine. We had a little girl with cystic fibrosis, a lung problem is where it manifested, some other things. We spent 4 to 6 hospitalizations a year in Pittsburgh at 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And then in the last year and a half or 2 years, it was probably closer to 6 months at a time. We stayed at the Ronald McDonald House. The entire time we were in the hospital, this is a child with a lung disease. A cold could lead to pneumonia, scarring, and early death. No one wore a mask. No pulmonologist, no pulmonary respiratory therapist, none of the x-ray techs, none of the nurses, none of the floor doctors, none of the food service people, none of the custodians, none of the security ever wore a mask. We stayed at the Ronald McDonald House with people from all over the world. Organ transplants, cancers, various maladies. We had Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins coming in to visit families. We had various churches coming in to present meals. We had Marines, sailors, airmen, and soldiers coming in with presents and so on. No one ever wore a mask. And so I'm thinking, if it's a thing, my pulmonologist team that was in charge of my daughter's health would probably have alerted us to it. Based on the rules they were pushing on us, all of my other children should have worn a mask whenever their sister was home. But, of course, that would be ridiculous. Everybody on the school bus should have worn a mask whenever she was on it. But that would be crazy. Everybody in the classroom, that would be nuts. And yet that's exactly what they were trying to push on us. And I looked at my wife, And I said, honey, I think we know something about this. I'm not doing that because I'm afraid someone will see me wearing a mask and they might think I know something too. And it's not going to protect them from anything.
It's all about control, Bill. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Lord Almighty, I feel the temperature rise. Fire is burning above and below. World, you've done been set on fire. It's me you're blaming, but I tried to tell you so. It wasn't his design that you should perish in the fire. It hurts to hear you cry, burning the world. Ooh, 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 I feel the temperature rising. I'm not complaining, I love this new body of mine. Burning. Can't do nothing to me. Walking through fire and smoke, but I feel fine. Lord, it wasn't your desire that any perish in the fire. Repentance was your cry from heaven above. Lord, it wasn't your desire that any perish. Times are running out, the flames are burning your body. You're crying, please help me, I wish I knew what to say. It's hard for me, it's too late now, we're believing. Lord Almighty, it's even too late for them to pray. Lord, it wasn't your desire that any perish in the fire. Repentance was your cry, it's time to die.
Just a hotter burn love.
It's just hotter burn love. It's a hotter burning 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 love. This is final warning from above.
2 Peter 3:12. Looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
All righty, we're back. Do you hear that, you communists out there? Do you hear that, you heathen? Okay. Listen, that song, you know, that song's all about being here during the tribulation period. We won't be here then, but boy, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be good. And we got Pastor Hal. He's going to tell us all about what it's going to be like during the tribulation period here in a few minutes. But we're back with our guests. And let me hit you on this. We were talking about what was taking place out there. There's another article here in We the People Arizona Alliance lawsuit. Now, this is all about one huge, huge county. One huge county, Maricopa County. It's a very large county. Lawsuit against Run Back Election Services to obtain evidence of over 35,000 ballots were inserted into Maricopa County vote count. I mean, just unbelievable. So all of this stuff is coming out now. And what do you think, Bill? You don't see How is the mainstream media? The mainstream media has kind of been a little silent on, very silent on all this, haven't they?
Well, they talk about what they're paid to talk about. We know what team they're on.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a difference between what is called a lie and a narrative? Because they don't seem to know the difference, do they?
I guess we call that the same thing up here. Dad said a person will lie to you, a person will steal from you, he'll kill you. Most of them people on the media get their money from Pfizer, and Pfizer's been trying to kill all of us. That kind of sums it up.
Well, you're not kidding about that. We're going to see some very interesting things happening because it's all timed out, and we're going to see, I think, in the very near future, a lot of people are going to be dropping dead, and they don't expect to do so. So it's the long-term effects of what has taken place there with that shot. So, all right, we have a lot of stuff to cover here yet tonight, but I wanted to say this first. This coming Sunday, October 1st, do you know what Sunday, October 1st is, Randy?
Wait a minute. We go back to the rally. Don't we do the Right to Life rally?
It's called That's Life right, Chain, right, right. National
go,
Life
right,
Chain.
We go back.
In every state and in every county, we do
That's
National
right.
Life Chain. So this year, this Sunday at 1:30, the Geauga County Life Chain is going to be held at Routes 306 and Route 322. Now, there will be thousands of life chains coming around. Millions of people are going to participate all across the United States. They come out for life, and they're letting everybody know. They're letting those heathens know that abortion is murder, huh?
That's correct.
And so we'll be out there doing that. Now, I know Lake County, right down the street, 20 miles down 306 and Route 20, they're going to be having theirs at that place. Now, as far as all the rest of you folks all across the country, whatever state you're in, if you call your local Right to Life chapter, they can tell you where your life chain's going to be at what time.
Wait a minute, and we're going to be at the corner of 322 and, what is that, 306?
Yeah, that's Mayfield Road and Chile South. Road,
right, yeah, and 306. You're right over there near the post office right there.
Yeah. You know what we did here? Remember about a year ago they had burn, loot, and murder, what they call Black Lives Matter? They yes. decided they were going to come out. Now, here's an interesting thing. It's kind of a strange thing because all the people they had out there, maybe 20 people, there was only one black person. All the rest were rich, young, white liberals, rich, young, white liberals from rich families, and only one black person out there. So we decided, well, if they're going to have theirs, we had one, and we turned out about four times as many people right across the street, okay?
Yeah, we did.
The Tea Party, right. And so it kind of deflated them. But you see, that's what our county did. And so you're right. We gotta take it back one county at a time, don't we? Bill?
Yes, sir.
We got to take
county
her back.
County by county.
County by county. All righty, so we're going to be, again, having this meeting tomorrow night, and we've got two clips we're going to play, and I think David is going to be in one, and I'm not sure, maybe you're going to be in that other one, but there's two clips we're going to be playing, and then we're going to have some speakers there, and we're going to tell folks why they absolutely need to sign up tomorrow night.
Well, why would you not sign up? I mean, it's not too expensive. We're living off the good works that people did a couple hundred years ago. We've been coasting since then. The richest man in the colonies was Robert Morris. And any time that George Washington needed something, he would send for Robert Morris. Morris depleted all of his resources. And so when it came time to cross the Delaware for the Battle of Trenton, they looked at the plans and Washington said, all is lost, for we have not shot or powder or food or boats. someone bring me Robert Morris. Well, Morris came and looked at, well, he didn't have any money. But he said, I'll go see creditors and see what I can raise. Morris went, and no one would loan the new Continental Army any money. And so Morris said, well, will you loan it to me? And they said, yes. And so he signed, and the money crossed over, and the supplies were bought, and the river was crossed, and it was the turning point in the Revolution. Morris went to debtor's prison and was let out 30 days before he died, a broken man. He gave everything. And so why would someone not join for $5 to learn about history, to learn about civics, to hold their government accountable? We don't have to sleep in the snow with our feet wrapped in rags or anything. It's not like we're going to go hungry. During that period, the British had the gold. We had worthless paper. So the British would go into shops and buy what supplies they needed because they could. Of course, they'd have just taken it if you didn't sell it to them. So Congress, the Continental Congress, passed a suggestion. They weren't able to make a law. They could make a suggestion. If you own a shop, would you burn it? If you own a farm, would you burn your crops? And so shopkeepers went and poured the kerosene and threw a match and watched their livelihoods go up. They bankrupted themselves. Farmers went with their families into the fields and torched their crops with winter coming and famine looming. We don't have to do that. You know, if people say it's really bad, it's not. It's nothing like what it was. And so based on what those people were willing to do so that you and I could live and breathe free, knowing that you have a responsibility in government, that we the people still means something, why would you not join Tactical Civics? There is no other solution. Everything else that people talk about is not a solution. You talked about Weaver, and I admire what he did. He was trying to live his own life. They hunted him down and shot him. The same people killed the Davidians. The same people killed the fellow along the road out in Oregon. You can't fight fire by running from it. You have to run toward it. They said, well, we'll have a convention of states. My question is, after you rewrite the Constitution, will you enforce it then? Because we're not enforcing it now. Tactical civics is how we enforce the Constitution, hold our servants accountable, dismiss the ones that need dismissed so that we can get our government back to what it was supposed to be, which was something that we exercised.
Say, Bill, I'd like to add something to what you're saying, too, about the reason why people should come out. All right, I'm going to ask two questions to the listening audience, and if this is you, you need to come to the meeting. All right, name me three of the 9 sitting judges on the Supreme Court. Now, I bet you can't do that. Now, name me 3 of the stooges. That tells you where your knowledge is. You really need to come out to the Tactical Civics meeting. You do.
Yeah, you really do. And so now go ahead. You've got about 2 minutes before we have to hand it over to Pastor Hal, because he's going to tell the folks out there that when you die, because everybody we know is going to die. This is reality, folks. There's a lot of deniers when it comes to dying, but you're going to die. And some of those rich people like Klaus Schwab and George Soros, basically they're going to have their heads frozen and then someday defrosted, but that's not going to happen, okay? They're going to end up in a lake of fire. But anyhow, so now tell us very quickly, what happens, Bill, if people continue with ignorance and apathy and don't get involved and wait for somebody else to do something?
Right.
Then what happens to our country?
Well, the plunderers will eventually raise the land, steal everything, kill all of us, and move on to some other form of plunder, such as it has been throughout history. There are cultures that are plunder cultures, and there are people that are plunder people. They are parasites. They live off the productive efforts of other folks. I think biblically, the enemy used to come in and throw weed seeds, the tares, in with the wheat. And, you know, they came in at night and did those things. They'll poison your well. They'll tell you you can't have a heat. You know, they'll do whatever they have to do to gain control unless we stand up. But standing up doesn't have to be violent. It just has to be being a good parent, saying no, and then being in charge as we always were. You know, it's occurred to me listening to this today, this isn't something I live in. I don't live in government. Government's a contractor I've hired. There's somebody that's supposed to do a thing. They don't dictate the terms of my life. I dictate the terms of their work. And all we have to do is get that straight, and it's simply going to take sufficient numbers to do it.
All righty. We're on that road to getting there done. We've got to get it done. That's absolutely right. I've been fighting this battle against corruption for the last 50 years, and it ain't over with till we win. And I do see right now, I see panic forming. I think the left in this country sees the writing on the wall. And, you know, God's word, the Bible, it doesn't stutter. He tells us, he demands, we have obligations to God. He has expectations of us. And he tells us we are to run to this battle. We are to, what, take the country back. So with that, Pastor Hal is going to tell all them folks out there that are going to die, everyone that's going to die out there, Hal's got a message for them. So tell them, Hal.
How long do I have, Pastor?
7 minutes.
All right.
I'll give you a one-minute warning.
Okay. I was looking in chapter 29 of Proverbs, verse 2, where it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And, you know, when President Trump was in office, this country rejoiced. We had low gas prices. We had a strong military. Everything was going good. And then when the presidency got usurped by this communist Antichrist party that we got now, the Bible says, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And we've never had a more wicked government running this country than we have right now since this nation's history. And God expects people to stand up and take a stand for his blessings and getting right with him. And if we get right with God, we repent of our sins as individuals and a nation, God's going to help us. And I think this tactical civics thing is something God's brought along to give us an opportunity to get this country back to where it used to be, even stronger. But, you know, the Bible says that in the last days, the tribulation period after the rapture of the church, the rapture is when the true Christians are getting caught up out of here, out of this mess, that the things are going to get worse than they've ever been before. And you don't want to see that, because when it comes, it's going to be brutal. And but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. But that doesn't become ours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We're all creations of God, but to go to heaven, you have to become a son of God. And to become a son of God, the Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And repentance is simply admitting something to God he knows already anyway. That without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. And the only thing to get our sins washed away, whether it's one sin or 1 billion sins, is through the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not through your church membership. It's not through some religious leaders. It's not through your good works or water baptism. You could get baptized so often every tadpole in the creek knows your social security number and still die and go to hell. The only way to get saved is when you come to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on the cross, being sorry about the fact that you're a sinner. And he said he would. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul and ask him to come into your heart and give to you that payment, he'll do it. And it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Jesus did all the work necessary for your salvation. Right before he died, he said, it is finished, which means he's telling you, all the God's, his Father has accepted all the work he's done on that cross and the blood he shed and the life he gave to as payment for our sins, if you by faith receive that payment. And so if you want to receive that payment, God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," or in other words, hear his words, "and open the door, I will come in." So with Jesus knocking at the door of your heart right now, and you believing that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, open that door and invite him to come in and be your Savior. If you don't, you could die and go to hell tonight. The devil wants you to think knowing about it is all it takes, but even the devil knows Jesus died on the cross for you. The devil don't want you to reach out and receive Jesus as your Savior, though. I'm asking you, and God's asking you, to ask Jesus to come into your heart and receive that payment right now. Because without Jesus in your heart, you're like a walking dead man or a walking dead woman. He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So just pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell, because I believe that you and only you can pay the payment for my sins, and you did that. And I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving to me eternal life. Now, folks, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it, 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Believe on meant put your faith in, not just believe about, but believe on that you pray and ask him come into your heart. Why? That you may know, 1 John 5:13 says, that you may know you have eternal life. How can you know it? Because God made you that promise, and he cannot lie.
1 minute.
So if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I'll see you in heaven. God be praised. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very good. All right, that was a very good invitation. And we have everything you just said. We have God's word on it, don't we?
Sure.
It don't get any surer than that. Bill, I want to thank you for being here with us. How do you think we've done tonight? You think we're going to have a good turnout tomorrow?
Yes, sir. You're going to have a great turnout tomorrow.
All right. I kind of have that feeling, too, okay? See, these two guys that are right here with me tonight, they're going to join tomorrow. They already told me they're joining tomorrow.
That's right.
They can join tonight.
I like the price.
Yeah.
I got that.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, yeah, they can join tonight. I think somebody was going to be there to sign them up tomorrow. I think they were going to do a big sign-up tomorrow. So, anyhow, there you go. How much time do we have there? All righty. Well, we're coming up to the end of this radio program tonight. It was good to have you here. We'll get you back soon. And, you know, it's not over with till we win. We know that. Amen.
Right. Amen.
So as we get to this point, every night we always say this thing. We say good night, don't we? We always say good night, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Then we always say, God bless, don't we? And then,
God bless.
Amen. Then we always say, and
always.
Ready?
Yeah.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.